What's going on, everybody? Happy 4th of July weekend. Welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show. You've got Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com and Andy Kaysen with Football Card Quest. What's up, Andy? How you doing, man?
Hey, Paul. I'm doing great. It is a pleasure to rejoin you on the Sports Card Strategy Show. I'm excited to talk football cards, man, as we're heading into 4th of July. Because typically, you know, once you get past 4th of July, that's when your friends that are just like the leisure, you know, season-long fantasy football drafters, they start getting excited, which has a lot of carryover to, you know, guys in the hobby getting excited about football cards heading into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're going to be at the National this year, which I'm excited about. We're going to be there, of course, booth 3216. And the National is like a huge hotspot for football cards. Everyone's looking for the quarterbacks at the National. So we'll talk a little bit about that. It'll be fun to see you and meet you face to face.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited to meet a lot of the faces that I've streamed with for so long in a virtual format. I actually get to meet you guys in person. And think about this, Paul. We are 65 days out from the start of the regular season, which is a very interesting number because that's also the PSA turnaround time right now for bulk submissions. So just throwing that out there, it's like a perfect storm for buying raw football cards, potentially get some of those graded, get them back for the beginning of the season.
Perfect day to have Andy on. He is the football card man, and that's absolutely a great piece of information there and a key piece of information for all of you out there in the audience. So for those of you who don't know, I think many of you know Andy, but he's been on the show quite a bit before with Kendall and I. Kendall Lefty McKee is out today due to the 4th of July weekend. So Andy is subbing in for him, and Andy is we're lucky to have Andy as a sub for Kendall. So before we jump into the show today, I want to tell you guys about Graybo's Sports Cards. Graybo's Sports Cards is a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Dodson. Duke Denny one time Dodson, and is located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's Sports, the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Listeners of the Sports Card Strategy Show can receive a 10% discount on any purchase at graybos.co. Just use the promo code STRATEGY2023. Also, Graybo's now breaks on the Drip app 5 nights a week, including baseball, basketball, football, and wrestling. If you use the link in their IG bio, you can get a $15 credit after your first purchase on Drip. Graybo's underscore cards is where you want to do that. And you can follow them there on Instagram to get all of their news and updates. Also, don't forget to get personalized, unlimited personalized advice at nooffseason.com to build your sports card investment portfolio. A lot of you in the audience have done that, and I really, really appreciate it. If you haven't yet, be sure to get your free 30-day trial now at nooffseason.com. We want to help you build your sports card investment portfolio. We want to help you do the things that Andy's talking about in terms of getting some of those football cards graded now for the 65-day PSA turnaround time and then flip them at the beginning of the NFL season. And don't forget about marketmoversapp.com. Great deals now there. 20% off for life after a free 14-day trial period. Use the promo code NOOFFSEASON. That's where we get a lot of our data and information. And so we're really, really happy about that situation with marketmoversapp.com. Andy, we're going to go around quickly to everybody, say hello to everybody in the live stream. So Chad Gill was in the live stream. He's going to be joining us momentarily on the show. So don't worry. We should have Dr. Crack, the sports card doctor, in the house. Jeff Ulrich, new friend out of California. Good morning, Jeff. Dinged Corners. Good to see you. Oh, my shoes in the house. Oh, my shoes is excited. He loves Andy. He's a big fan of Andy. Rusty Emma Gart, good morning to you as well. He says, great show and tell show last week. Just catching up. Appreciate that. Andy's been on the show and tell show too. He had a nice Patrick Mahomes COVID mask card that he shared a few weeks back. Shoes is excited about the July 2023 PSA magazine. I like that. All right, everybody. Andy and I are about to get into it. Sonia's backstage in the studio. Kendall's not here. Chad's going to be here soon. It's okay. All I really need is Andy. Andy, I'm going to do my L of the week first. Give you a little bit of time. I know you've got one for us. give you a little bit of time, but I'm going to lead off. So I think that this will resonate with you, even though it's a baseball card, because you and I talk about timing. Timing is huge. Timing is not only huge when you're buying a card so that you have a plan for making profit off of it, but it's also huge when you're selling the card. And I think that's where a lot of us, we really don't know the answer, right? We don't know the answer, like, when is the best time to sell a particular card? In particular, in football, like, you could have, like, we talk about, and you and Carter on your show, you know, Football Card Quest Pod, you guys talk a lot about, like, selling football in August, because it's kind of the safer time to sell. But then I'm sure there's times where maybe there's a quarterback or even a skill position player that goes off maybe in the first 4 weeks of the season, and their card value continues to climb, and you're thinking, man, I could have made maybe $300 or $400 more dollars on that guy. And that's where it starts to sting and become an L. And we're going to welcome in Dr. Chad here in a second. He's backstage. I see him getting ready to go. So we'll let him listen to my L, and then we'll bring him in here. So my L of the week is the timing of when I sold my Ellie De La Cruz 2022 Bowman Sapphire Edition Chrome PSA 10, because I bought it in December for under $100, and then I sold it in March for $117.51, basically profit, right? So that, like, well, sorry, not profit, but like gross total. And so I made probably about $50 on the card profit. So I was happy. It's one of those things where I'm happy to make $50-ish profit on the card. But as I was scanning through my sports card investor app over this last week, I realized that card right now is selling for $500, pretty over 300, over 400, even over $500 pretty consistently right now. And so a lesson in selling at the wrong time is my L of the week. So not only did I sell I sold on March 31st. So I was trying to be as patient as possible. We talk about my lack of patience on this show a lot. I was trying to be as patient as possible. And March 31st was as long as I could wait after buying a card in December. And I sold it for a profit. But now we're looking at this dude's card being, I mean, I basically left $400 on the close to $400 on the table here. So it's a good time to bring in Dr. Crack Chad Gill for this one, because he's been involved in some Ellie De La Cruz transactions. He and Kendall have talked about Ellie De La Cruz a lot. And before we go to Andy's L of the week, Chad, do you have a comment on my L of the week here? I'm sure you probably do.
It's patience is a virtue, Paul.
Yep. So it's one of those things, just for the audience out there, hopefully you can understand that it's hard not to beat yourself up about that kind of an L, you know. It's like, so what I'm going to do moving forward is we talk about selling upon the call up hype. I did not do that. I sold upon the baseball season hype. So that's it. That's it. Hopefully you guys don't make the same mistake, but Andy, I know you said you had an L that you wanted to share. Yep. Football card L. Let's go over to you, man.
Yeah. So I want to ask you real quick. Did you sell that in an auction or buy it now?
I sold it in an auction, I believe. Wait a minute.
Oh, okay.
I normally sell it in an auction. And I believe I sold it in an auction, because that's what I normally do. But yes, I think I'm going to stick with that answer. There's a 99% chance I sold it in an auction.
I got to get you over to my buy it now streets, man.
Yeah, that's a good call. So I think I see where you're going with that, right? Because it's kind of like there's the in-between strategy of if you're sort of impatient like me and you want to sell a card, or at least you want to list the card, right? But the real spike hasn't happened yet, or you're not really sure if the real spike has happened, you're probably saying, like, you know, nice middle ground is like a buy it now, because then you get to list it, but maybe you don't screw yourself over.
Yeah. So Yeah, I agree. And especially if the player is really young, to where you can kind of look at the rest of the draft class or the prospects around them and say, okay, well, maybe I'll price my buy now 20% higher than what it's currently comped at to kind of project or forecast for what it could kind of spike. And maybe you would have sold it for 200. I don't, you know, it probably wouldn't. You probably would have never forecasted that it got up to 500, like that kind of breakout. But my L of the week is actually around timing too. It goes back to the draft time period, and I am susceptible, just like everybody else, to being caught up in hype and like trying to get on a train for a player that has a limited supply when maybe they're projected to go potentially first, second round in the NFL draft. So I bought a Hendon Hooker Bowman Chrome Auto. And the reason why that's an L, I think it would still be a good card because I love the landing spot with the Detroit Lions. But, you know, they're fully committed to Jared Goff right now, and they're kind of in this win now mode, as you can see by the NFL markets, you know, with them playing the Chiefs on opening night. But, you know, he did slide to the third round because of the ACL tear that he had in his senior year. This guy was on an incredible run. Like, he was a Heisman Trophy finalist in his junior season at Tennessee. I mean, this guy was playing incredible. Although a lot of people say the Tennessee offense is a little bit fluky, I thought that he was actually going to go higher than he did, like potentially higher than Will Levis, only because of his arm talent. Like, Hendon Hooker's got incredible arm talent, great deep ball, great accuracy, which we know in the NFL is a trait that is highly regarded. Like, that's a good trait. And so, you know, I love the landing spot, but the timing of buying a Bowman Chrome Auto and him not being a starter right away, it's only going to lose value because now we've got Chronicles coming out that have the draft picks that are licensed product with the pro designs, but college uniforms. And then we've got select draft picks, and then we're going to have Donruss Elite. And so you're going to have products that are out in pro uniforms with nice rookie autos before I ever really get a chance to sell my card. So I'll probably have to take a loss on this card. I've already comped it, and I bought it for $80, and it's already, you know, back down to like a $40 to $50 range. So I've already taken a loss on it. It's one of those prime learning lessons. I was trying to speculate and capitalize on some draft hype. And, you know, just didn't work out based on timing. And now the new product's coming out. I'm going to have to definitely take an L on that.
So it's one of those things where, like, your planned out play was you were going to flip it during the draft, and then he fell to the third round.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to flip it during the draft based on where he got drafted and the landing spot in the draft capital. But he did slide. And, you know, and on top of that, like, I guess I wasn't really thinking through the full process of him not, you know, being a starter right away as well. So if he's not going to be a starter, then I could easily buy in October, November, you know, or you know, potentially next offseason, because Jared Goff's got a lot of time left, and he plays really good behind an elite offensive line, which the Lions have. So, you know, it's like one of those things where I just didn't, you know, the cards didn't line up for that one. So definitely taking an L.
And I think Andy's point here is a good one, in that with these Bowman Chrome firsts, like, they're great cards and they're investable cards, but they're really, I would say, they're more flippable cards than they are investable, because they're most likely going to lose their value when the other releases come out. So, like, I hope to the football gods that, like, my Caleb Williams autos that I've been buying are still like, I hope that Caleb Williams is still healthy and the number one overall pick and everything next year's draft, because that's my plan, is to just flip him, everything I've got of him, just flip him during the draft hype or at the latest draft weekend, because to your point, then over the subsequent months leading up to what will be his first NFL season, there'll be all these other releases coming out, and the more competition that there is for cards for a particular player, then the desirability of that one card does go down a little bit. I saw that with Victor Wembanyama SI for kids cards. I've already sold all of them because now we have all these other Victor Wembanyama cards out. So I think that's a good one. Hopefully Hendon Hooker I'm obviously, you know, I'm a huge Detroit Lions fan, so I'm hoping that Hendon Hooker can be what the Lions hope he can be after we move on from Jared Goff, but I also hope that we don't have to move on from Jared Goff anytime soon because of the position that we're in right now. So that's a good one. Chad, over to you, man. What's your L of the week? Other than your microphone not working as you planned it earlier this morning.
Yeah, I went through both laptops at home frantically. I was on at 6:30 thinking I'm going to be ready for you guys. Excited to be on the show with Andy for once. Watched Andy lots of times, and Andy's a celebrity to me, so I'm looking forward to meeting him at the National too. But anyways, my L of the week here is on a show and tell a while back, I showed everybody how I sniped cards on eBay, and I bought a orange Burrow and a green Velocity Trevor Lawrence, and I was going to send them in for grading. The Burrow was a pre-graded Beckett PSA or Beckett 9, so I was pretty confident that would get a 9, and if it got a 9, I was going to make about $75, so I was okay with that. The Trevor Lawrence was the question mark. I thought it looked good in the pictures on eBay. If it got a 10, I would have tripled my money. I was really hoping for a 9. I got it. It was a little bit off-centered left to right, and I thought, I got a shot at a 9. If I get a 9, I'm going to make $50 to $75. If I get an 8, I'm going to lose my grading fees and maybe a few bucks, depending upon what his cards do well. Over the weekend while I was gone, I got my card back. I don't know if you can see that. It came back an 8. So sometimes when you buy raw cards on eBay, it doesn't work out as well as you wanted, and sometimes you take an L when you send them in for grading, and that's going to be probably a $25-$30 loss for me. And you know, that's about the floor for what I'm willing to take for losses. So, but I do take some L's once in a while.
Yeah, Andy, like a couple episodes ago, Chad's L of the week was like a $50 profit. So that's how good he is.
Pretty good, man.
I know. Kendall and I were like, what? Your L is a profit? Okay, well, we've lost hundreds of dollars on a particular play every once in a while, and Chad's taking an L that's a $50 profit. So, Chad, sorry to hear you actually lost money this week, man. That's a shame. I had a similar like grading situation with some PSA grades on particularly those exact Trevor Lawrence cards. So not necessarily the parallel that you just shared, but that similar like Donruss optic set for, you know, the Donruss and the optic sets for Trevor Lawrence don't have the highest gem rates, especially the optics. I think Donruss has much higher for 2021, but had a similar experience, which I'll probably share on a sports card strategy show and tell. We're going to take some audience questions that are coming in later on in the episode. So Mark Drzezinski, thanks for your question. Keep watching. We're going to answer your question later on. Hello to Rocky Empire Sports Cards in the chat. Good to see you. And a lot of love for Andy in the chat. So we appreciate that, everybody. All right. So my W of the week is some cross grading situations where Chad, when he first started creating content with us, brought to our attention some opportunities to crack some slabs and send those in as raw cards to PSA. So I've gotten better at this. I got kind of crushed on my first round. My first round, I took some risks that we've talked about on this show and had some wins from it too, but had some unnecessary risks that kind of ate into my overall profit margin, but I'm getting better at it. So this next round, I've got a couple wins to share. I'll share probably more of the overall situation on a future show and tell show. But one win that I think Andy will like is I bought an SGC 9.5 Joe Burrow 2020 base prism for $97.42 all in, cracked it and got a PSA 10. So just $19 more into that card. So just over $115 into that card. Those are currently going for $240, but as we know, it's July 3rd. And so we know that that card should go up at least 10 to 20% between now and August. And then this card in particular, the last 2 years, its trend line has actually gone up even more significantly into January and February due to Joe Burrow's tendency to be a stud in the playoffs and, you know, be somebody that everybody is talking about in the playoffs. So that was one that I wanted to share. Another quick W that I wanted to share, just to show that I am actually good at some things related to what we talk about on the show. And I'm not just seeing my profit margin be $400 less than what it could have been on an Ellie De La Cruz card, is I did buy a LeBron James SGC 9 2003 Topps rookie, which I'm actually a big fan of this card. I think it's a pretty classic card. Bought it for $389, cracked it and got a PSA 9. These are currently going for $585. So this is like, Chad and I have talked a lot about the risk tolerance and the floor on these types of plays. So the floor on the Burrow play, the most I would have lost would have probably been like $20. And I don't think I would have lost that much on this one. I did the math and I think a PSA 8 goes for like a decent amount, like not too much less than the $388.85 that I paid for it. But certainly I'm happy to get, you know, I have not sold this, but I'm looking at a win here in that it does go for $585 based on current comps. So those are a couple wins. Chad, let's go over to you first for your W of the week. Give Andy some time to think about his W since he's filling in for Kendall today. And also let me know what you think about my my wins there.
Well, congratulations on your wins. You are getting better at that. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
That LeBron, we'll have to talk off air. I have a proposal for you on your LeBron. So
you might
have a seller for that or buyer for that. Anyways, the W of the week, my son and I, at Christmas time decided that, I always get him cards. He knows what he's getting for his birthday and for Christmas and Easter and all that stuff. It's cards, of course, right? This is my older son now, my 16-year-old. Come here, Xavier, real quick. So this morning, Paul, as I'm running out of the house, he's like, "Where are you going?" I said, "I got to run into work." He's still in his jammies. He's like, "Can I come with?" I'm like, "Yeah, come on, let's go."
He's a star of the Sports Card Strategy Show and Sell.
Yeah, he's running around my workplace here because we're closed today while I'm doing this show now. But anyways, my older son, my 16-year-old, we bought four boxes of Select 2020 football, ripping, hoping for some Burrows. We hit a silver field level Burrow and got that back this week. It came back at 10.
Nice.
So this is my son's card. It's my son's W, but that's like a $900+ card in a 10. So he was super stoked when we opened that up last night when we got back from his basketball tournament and ripped it open, and he was flying high.
So, guys, so I don't make the same mistake as I made on the Ellie De La Cruz. I mean, should I be selling the Burrow in August?
Well, Andy, I'll tell you what I did, Paul. My W of the week is actually a Lamar Jackson. And you could say the same thing. Should I be selling my Lamar Jackson? I had a pink optic holo that I bought September 22nd. So not too long after the season started last year, but obviously his market dipped quite a bit after, a tumultuous 2021 and 2020, you could say. So I bought that for $100. It was a BGS 8.5. I cracked it out of the BGS slab and actually sold it raw for $150. So a really solid profit margin there. And you could argue that I could probably get more for it as we get closer to the season. But thing is, I've got a few Lamar Jackson cards and I always like to take inventory on the cards that I have. And if I've got multiples and I've got 50% profit in a card, like that's a really good margin. I'll go ahead and take it. So that gives me more money to put back in my bankroll. You got the National coming up. There's also a lot of other sleepers that I'm targeting right now. That I would love to have that capital for. So yeah, that's why I went ahead and took the transaction. But that's my win of the week.
That's awesome. It's good to know that you're cracking slabs just like we are. So at the National at booth 3216, we're going to be cracking slabs for free. So Andy, if you want to join us in the slab cracking for the audience, come on by and at least maybe let the Football Card Quest audience know that if they're buying slabs at the National and they want to have us crack them for them and then walk over and submit them to PSA, we'd be happy to help them out. So I just need to try to figure out, Chad, how do I prevent all of the plastic pieces from going everywhere around me?
Put them in a, like, one, I do the 1 gallon storage bag. So you put them in a 1 gallon storage bag and then do the clipping, and then everything's contained into the storage bag. Or you can put, the other trick you can do is you can put a slab sleeve on them, one of those plastic sleeves. And when you clip them, the sleeve will contain it from flying everywhere as well.
Yeah, I'll have to practice
or,
that.
Or wear some safety glasses and let them fly.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just wear my sunglasses and just let them. And I go into my garage. I have a table out in my garage and just let them fly everywhere and then sweep up the garage. But anyway, win of the week too is Andy's card wall. We've got some Oh My Shoes in the comment section talking about Andy. Would like Andy to do a show and tell submission in the future where he shows us all of the cards on his wall in the background. That's a great call, Oh My Shoes. Jason Van Casale is a new name in the chat today. Jason, welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show. You seem to be a loyal follower of Andy and the FB Card Quest, so we appreciate you joining us today. I mentioned Rocky Empire Sports Cards in the house, but also Mr. T. Mr. T is sleepless in Seattle on the quest, so Andy definitely knows you. Andy's bringing in the new audience members to the Sports Card Strategy Show, so we love that. Welcome everybody that's new to the show. And all right, next up, what we typically do here, guys, for those of you new to the show, is we go L of the week, W of the week, buy and sell. And so for me, I'm just going to talk about a card that I've been trying to buy, but trying to be very patient. And it's not necessarily a timing play, but I think that this is a play that can probably always be made. And I mentioned it real quick on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell, but the Michael Jordan 1987 Fleer is a card that has piqued my interest because you have a massive price difference in terms of sale price between a PSA 8 and a PSA 9. So you have this pocket where the PSA 8 sells for about $500, and then the PSA 9 sells for about $1,400 or $1,500. It's almost impossible to get a 10. The 10s are going to sell for five figures. But on the four-figure card, the PSA 9 has piqued my interest because if I can get a CSG 8.5 or an SGC 8.5 for a price of a PSA 8, now we're in a sweet spot that Chad likes to talk about, where you're risking maybe your grading fee and maybe $20 or $30 of a loss for the upside of like a potential $1,000. So I was able to actually get, I was actually very patient, at least I think for myself I was, maybe not for all of you, but $554 all in on this one, including taxes, which kind of sucks. There's 10% sales tax in Tennessee, but on this CSG 8.5, they accepted my offer at $500. And so again, here's the data here. So actually this last sold in PSA 9 for $1,275, but it does actually sell for close to $1,500 at some points in time. The PSA 8 last sold for $421, but it does sell for, you know, upwards of $500. So a little bit of a risk here, but I think the floor is high enough to where I feel pretty good about this to say, hey, if you can buy this card and you're willing to risk 50, it's really a $50 risk, I think is what it is, to maybe make close to 1,000. So that's what I feel like. I'm not looking to go out and buy a bunch of these. That's because I don't have the money to be buying like multiple $500 cards. But in a PSA bulk submission, which is now $19 a card, for like the 1980s through present, to add this into a bulk submission of other lower level cards, like the Ken Griffey Jr. 1989, I'm buying Ken Griffey Jr. 1989 Upper Deck SGC 8.5s, because that's another one. Chad wrote an article at nooffseason.com about going from an 8.5 to a 9 in that card is a big win. So I'm putting this Michael Jordan 1987 Fleer in with some other lower level cards. But that is one that I wanted to talk about in terms of who I'm buying. So probably interested to know who Chad's buying right now. So Chad, what do you think about that? And then over to you for who you're buying.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my camera here today. I'm like, am I as foggy to you as I look to me?
Well, yeah, but Shoes says if you need IT help offline, he says he can help you out. So I didn't know Shoes was an IT guy, but maybe
you guys are nice and crisp, and I'm
there we go.
All right, that's better.
That's crispy.
You can see I haven't shaved in 3 days. So I am buying, as I often mention, when I write the articles for No Off Season, I'm also playing in that same sandbox because I don't believe I can be giving advice if I'm not willing to take it myself, correct? And I don't think that it's been published yet, so this might be a little like sneak preview. But Lefty and I put together a top prospects, Bowman first prospects of the 2023 Bowman. 2023 Bowman, generally you don't want to chase the current year prod, you know, people, because it comes out and the cards crash, as Andy mentioned earlier with that Bowman Chrome first. You know, if you buy it, as the other products come out, they tend to go down. Bowman, when you're talking Bowman baseball, that's the one area that doesn't apply. Bowman first cards always seem to hold their value over time. It's the one card that people want. So we've talked about buying in bulk, like the Ellie De La Cruz plays that I made and that I wrote about. So we thought it would be fun, Lefty and I, to write an article talking about the top chases that are actually able to get. You know, a lot of these plays, people, we've had comments, well, it's a 2018 product and it's really hard to find 20 cards to do your bulk play. So offline, Lefty and I were talking, how much fun would it be to do a 2023 where there's product everywhere, right? You can literally buy thousands of them if you want on eBay. So who I'm buying right now is in that article. One of the players that I just bought 20 cards this morning before, as I was trying to get my IT stuff figured out, was Roman Anthony. He's in the Boston Red Sox organization. I believe he had, Lefty and I both think that he has an outside chance of maybe making it called up late in the year this year, for sure next year. When you play in the Boston Red Sox franchise, there's always good card popularity there. And his cards right now, I bought 20 cards last night or this morning, with shipping for the 20 cards was $26 with shipping and tax. So a little over $1 a card. If PSA comes back with a special for $15, I'll have $16-$17 per card all in. If I get half of them are 10s, I'm going to double, triple my money. So Roman Anthony is one of the players that I'm buying right now. And the other ones, I would say, get your premium membership and make sure that you read the article, because there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah, I'm excited for that article. That's going to be awesome. And I think I got the Red Sox in a Graybo's break. And so then I sent all of those Red Sox cards out to one of our premium members in their premium pack. So if you're the member, the nooffseason.com premium member that got my Red Sox from Graybo's, look for Roman Anthony in there. And Chad, I think right now, if I'm not mistaken, it is $15 a card. It's a 10 card minimum, but it's the ultra modern value play, I think, is still $15 a card for PSA.
I did not see that. I've been looking every day since July 1st. Maybe one of you guys know the answer to this, but I did not look yet this morning, but July 1st and July 2nd, they pulled that down off of their site. That was not a play that you can make right now. I'm waiting to see. I would guess PSA is going to either today or tomorrow announce their July national special. I'm assuming they're going to do a special. They always do for the national, but I have not yet seen it. Have either of you seen? I didn't pull up their website yet. Andy, do you know?
I've got go ahead if you know.
Well, I heard you guys mention a special. Actually, Jason Van Castle, J Kid, he did post that PSA's got a $15 on 1990 to to present day, like modern? It's got to be sports cards only, no TCG. Is that what you guys are talking about?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. But I think so, Jason, thank you for that. And thank you, Andy. That's what I was talking about. But Chad, on point as always, I believe is correct in that today being July 3rd, Saturday was July 1st. I hadn't looked at this since Friday, June 30th, and it is gone now. So I don't see, Jason's right. It was there and I got submissions in at that level. And that's why I just said that, but it is not there anymore. So I think Chad's correct in that we probably now have to wait for whatever the national special is. And I mean, if my guess is that if it, and actually Lonnie Conley, one of our audience members asked this in an earlier question in an earlier episode, if we thought it was going to go down to $9, my guess now, I mean, I have no idea, but my guess is that if it was 15 and then they're going to do a national special, it should be less than 15, right? Otherwise, why would they scoop that up and then do a national special at more than 15? So we'll see. Well, what do you think, Chad?
I've been lately sending in a submission every Wednesday because I've got a lot of local people that are sending me their cards now and got a little side hustle going there, I guess.
Nice.
So I've been doing weekly submissions, so I watch this a lot, but I wouldn't be surprised if they came back with a $15 play of some sort, maybe a $12 play, but I'm guessing it'll be 15. But, you know, if you've noticed, their $15 plays have been a little bit different. They've been, you know, 90s and newer with a $199 max price. They've done, you know, they mess around with that max value price. So I wouldn't be surprised if they came back with a $15 special with a $499 max instead of a $199 max, you know, to try and get a lot of bulk cards that are over that $199.
There we go. Number. Yeah, that's a good call. We got a max value question coming up later in the show as well.
Okay.
Stay tuned for that. But sorry to cut you off, Chad.
Well, that's okay. Or they're going to come out. You're going to see. You could see them come back with like a $10 Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh or something like that, because that seems to be driving the ship right now. It's the, you know, that they're grading more of those than they are any football or basketball cards right now. So they might go after target something like that as well.
Awesome. We already said hi to Jason and Mr. T from the Football Card Quest joining us. And we're all excited to hear who Andy's buying right now. And by the way, before we get over to Andy, good morning to Chad Dyer as well. Chad, good to see you in the comments. Love everybody participating in the live stream today, bringing it strong. So teeing it up for Andy Kaysen of the Football Card Quest. Who are you buying right now, my friend?
I would say my biggest buy right now, biggest target right now, is a quarterback that I want to flip within the next 3 weeks. You know, full on training camp, two a day starts in just 3 weeks. And there's a couple big free agents that are left out there. The biggest one is arguably DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver. Right now, he's mulling over a contract with the New England Patriots. So my buy right now is Mac Jones. He is by far the most undervalued starting quarterback from the 2021 draft class. I just bought a rookie turn of the century auto numbered out of 75 for $100. This is a card that going back to his rookie year would have been easily $1,000 plus. I mean, there was a time period when he was a rookie because he had accuracy and efficiency stats from his rookie season in top five. We're talking red zone completion. He was taking a lot of deep attempts. Last year was totally dysfunctional. He fell off of the face of the earth because they had no offensive play caller. They had Matt Patricia. They didn't even know who their offensive play caller was going to be heading into the season. It looks like it ended up being Matt Patricia. It got so bad that, you know, Mac Jones was hurt his ankle. He was then benched for a time period for Bailey Zappi, and he went and sought outside help. But this year they bring in Bill O'Brien, who has, you know, 6 years of coaching experience with the Patriots, including the iconic 2011 season when Tom Brady threw, he was their offensive coordinator. Tom Brady threw for just about 5,300 yards, a career high. So I'm not saying he's going to get that out of Mac Jones, but we are going to see a lot more passing volume. They also just restructured Devontae Parker's contract and the captain of their defense. I can't remember his name, but they restructured, extended both of their contracts to free up more salary cap space this year to bring in, undoubtedly, it's going to be DeAndre Hopkins. And it makes sense because Bill O'Brien was the head coach for the Texans when DeAndre Hopkins has had the best seasons of his career. So it only makes sense for that, you know, that reunion to happen. And then DeAndre Hopkins is still a very good player. He's still got the highest average cushion rate of any wide receiver in the league last year. We're going to see this offense throwing a lot more. The defense may be solid, but look who they played twice a year, and they just added Aaron Rodgers to the division. The AFC East is absolutely loaded with the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets. So it's like their schedule is incredibly tough. They're going to be in a lot of situations where they're forced to get into shootouts and air it out. And even last year with that dysfunctional offense, Mac Jones still had a top five efficiency score whenever you look at some of his passing metrics. And we can't forget that he was, excuse me, not top five, but play action completion percentage, he was number 9. And red zone completion, he was number 8, 60%. And we can't forget that he does have first round draft capital. He did go to Alabama where the one season that he started in his senior year, he threw for 4,500 yards. So it's only a matter of time before Mac Jones' prices spike in the next 3 weeks when they sign DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm buying now to flip. And let me just clarify that this is not a long-term play for me. I'm not sold on Mac Jones long-term, but I look at him compared to the prices of some of these other super speculative guys, like people paying this kind of money for guys like Sam Howell, or paying it for Desmond Ridder, or paying it for guys like Kenny Pickett, Jordan Love. And you got Mac Jones sitting there, arguably going, like, if you look at some of the similar cards, he's going for under theirs. So it's just a crazy low, like, quarterback play you can make right now and flip within the next 3 weeks.
This is exactly what I'm talking about in terms of being like genius level sports card flipper, because what Andy's talking about is he's ahead of the people who are going to speculate on Mac Jones. So he's leaving meat on the bone for those people to take the risk, where he's just saying, this is going to happen. I'm going to take the sure bet, which is, well, he doesn't know 100% that DeAndre Hopkins is going to sign with the New England Patriots, but it's pretty darn clear based on everything that Andy laid out that this is going to happen. And this is where Andy is genius level at this, by saying, I am going to sell at the moment of the hype when this happens. So I'm going to acquire these cards now, sell at the moment of the hype, and don't even worry about how Mac Jones does during the season. And so Andy's also very good at fantasy football, even though I crushed him in our league last year, in the league that he set up, just giving myself a little pat on the back there. But Andy's very, very good at fantasy football. And so I think that the mindset of a fantasy football player sometimes can differ from the smart genius level card flipper, in that the fantasy football player who owns Mac Jones in a dynasty league, or who drafts Mac Jones in a seasonal league, is thinking, I need all of these things to play out to capitalize on my Mac Jones investment in my fantasy league. Whereas the card flipper basically should just sell and take the risk out of it and still be able to make money on it. Now, you could, if you're in a dynasty league or something like that, trade Mac Jones if you don't believe in him after something like this happens, right? So I guess you could kind of take the same approach in fantasy football. But to me, this is exactly how you apply knowledge from fantasy football and then turn it around in a way where you can make money off of cards and not put yourself in a position where, like, why would you put yourself in a position where Mac Jones has to succeed on the field in order to make money off of him? You should just flip him now, like Andy's doing, which I love.
Yeah. And quarterback, like, if you look at quarterback rookie card values, it's so closely tied to the win-loss record of their team. And to try and project the Patriots to make the playoffs or have an above 500 record is very difficult based on their schedule, based on their division. And their conference as a whole, the AFC, is just loaded. So once again, to say that he's a hold for the playoffs would be, I think, a big mistake. I think you're going to see his, even if he does throw for 5,200 yards, I still think you're going to see his prices dip come November, because it's going to be a very difficult schedule. There's going to be a lot of losses sprinkled in there. He's not going to be a front runner for MVP when you're going up against the Mahomes, the Rodgers, and all these other guys in the leagues. So, you know, it's one of those things where you've got this, just like you're saying, this news opportunity. A lot of times we see the prices spike higher on the news than from the actual performance.
Yep. And so the evidence laid out right there as well for why he probably won't necessarily spike in the regular season or the playoffs. Chad Dyer says pro jersey auto Mac Jones cards have a floor of 140. So that's his opinion. He loves your play. I think we're all aligned with that. And then Mark Drazinski had an interesting question. So I'm going to throw this one in now because it is about Mac Jones. So Mark bought a Mac Jones signed rookie prism. It is Beckett certified. So I take this to mean, while we don't have a photo of the card, I think I know exactly what Mark's talking about. This is a in-person, like event signed Mac Jones Beckett certified auto, not a pack pulled official Panini auto. He says, would you send it to PSA and get it graded as well? So I can answer the second part of Mark's question, which is, does PSA crack an existing slab? Yes. It's basically $50 per card. You can send in a Beckett certified auto or a whatever certified auto to PSA to crack and put in a PSA slab with an auto grade and a card grade. That's how I would recommend you do it. Unless the card itself just looks absolutely disgusting, I would recommend that you get, if it looks anything near a Gem Mint 10 or a PSA 9, I would say get a card grade and an auto grade. The other option is you could say you want the card authenticated, but the auto also graded or authenticated, whatever. If the auto looks horrible, maybe you want it just auto authenticated and in a PSA slab. There's a bunch of different options there, Mark. So it depends on how good your card condition looks and how good the auto looks on the card. Because if you do grade an auto that doesn't look great, you could get a low grade on the auto, even though, you know, it's still in a PSA slab. So there's all those different factors. But I think the question is for Andy on this kind of a card. Do you see this kind of a card being able to work for Mark? And then I think if he's trying to flip it within the window, I don't know that there would be enough turnaround time between now and the next 3 weeks, although he could get it back in the next 65 days, like you said, before the start of the NFL season. So there could, but if you were Mark on this type of play, all factors considered, right? There's a lot of factors to consider. How would you break this down for Mark?
Yeah, I'd be taking my photos of the card and getting my listing set up right now as I'm watching this live stream. I would go and look at what a Justin Fields sells for in that same, you know, try and find an identical Justin Fields card and list it at that, buy it now and have that thing ready to go, because they definitely want to have a deal done by the time training camp starts. They want to get DeAndre Hopkins integrated. They just sweetened the deal big time for him. So I think it's pretty likely within the next 3 weeks. I don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen, you know, like right as we're heading into the National, you have this big hype spike for Mac Jones to be like a perfect storm. So it's a pretty high likelihood that this deal happens in the next 3 to 4 weeks. I want to have my listing ready to go. So one of those impulse buyers that's like a got to have it type person can go on there and buy my card. You know,
I like that. Like, take the risk out of it for yourself. Don't have to wait for the card grade and the auto grade to come back. Flip it now, like, because it's basically the same. So, Mark, this is basically the same thing Andy's doing with the card he held up a minute ago. Like, he's already buying autos, or he's already bought autos that he's going to list. He's not getting them graded. He's just selling them as he had bought them, right? So turn of the century out of 75 Mac Jones auto. So Andy's saying, don't even get it graded. Just take nice pictures of it, list it as is. And I think our very own Dr. Crack is going to agree. But Chad, what do you think? What would you do if you were Mark on this one?
Yeah, I think Andy's spot on. If I'm reading that correctly, the card is not graded, just if the auto is authenticated by Beckett.
I believe that's the case, yes.
So yeah. I don't see any advantage to cracking that and getting it PSA authenticated. There's probably a reason why the auto was authenticated and the card was not graded. It's probably going to grade a 6, 7, 8 or something like that and actually devalue the card. So I would not do that. To Andy's point, what I do with stuff like that is I get it loaded in my eBay. I put it in the drafts. I don't list them until, in this case, it's a little bit of a risk, but if DeAndre Hopkins does sign with New England, DeAndre Hopkins cards are going to go up because of the storied New England franchise, and Mac Jones cards should see a huge spike for a week to 10 days after the announcement of the signing. So I would be, as soon as I hear that that happens, I'd take that draft, I'd turn it into a listing, and it would be on eBay instantly.
Yeah, so you answered Mr. T's question as well. He says, does D-Hop spike too, just being a Pat? I saw Andy kind of nodding his head, and Chad Dyer does agree that it'll spike a little bit, but that they're already at superstar high levels. Andy, do you want to add to that answer there?
Yeah, I think they spike a little bit. You know, there is obviously he's going to step right in as their alpha wide receiver. You know, I am bullish on like their tight ends, because if you look at the guys that had the best seasons in 2011 under Bill O'Brien, it was Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. You know, and then they had an injured Deion Branch that came in like halfway through the season. So I do like also, you know, Mike Gesicki. I know that's a famous guy for me here, a big L that I took a couple years ago in Miami. But he automatically steps in as their alpha, and he's a possession style receiver. He's not going to stretch the field, but he's going to get a ton of targets. I think his cards spike a little bit immediately, just like what Dr. Chad said, the storied franchise, you know. The only thing that kind of will hold a lot of people back, it's like, man, is New England where wide receivers go to die? Because there's been so many draft busts and stuff like that go to New England. But a lot of that are wide receivers that New England has drafted, you know, the N'Keal Harrys and such. So I look at DeAndre Hopkins as, you know, obviously he's not a Hall of Famer yet. But if he were to get a ring, and I don't think this is a situation where he goes to get a ring, but neither is the Tennessee Titans. So I think this one just makes a lot more sense to him, a little bit better contract probably too. So I do think his card spike, but not to the same level that Mac Jones would. I think this all goes back to Mac Jones, because then people start putting, wow, man, they brought in Juju Smith-Schuster. They bring in Mike Gesicki, bring in Bill O'Brien. Now they're bringing in DeAndre Hopkins. This wheels up for Mac Jones. And I think ultimately that's where everything will converge back to, is Mac Jones on this New England offensive play.
Love it. All right, before we go over to who we're selling, good morning to Evan Bell, Facebook user in the house. Typically, that might be Keith Riordan, who's a good friend of the website, friend of the show, premium member. We appreciate you. Ryan Baruski in the house. Good to see Baruski. Shoes was getting worried that something bad had happened to Baruski, but he's in. He's on the West Coast, and it's really early. But glad that you're here to get your strategy, sports card strategy show fixed, Baruski. And Ryan Painter in the house. Painter is a contributor to nooffseason.com. He does the $20 play of the day for nooffseason.com, which is great. It's actually, he channels his inner Andy Kaysen for that $20 play of the day. A lot of football sleepers there. So Andy should check that out and let us know what Andy thinks. But yes, I agree with Baruski. Andy is a football knowledge savant. Dude has a sick command of the game. Yes. Could not agree more.
It all goes back to my fantasy football. You know, it all started with fantasy football, but that's why I do so much research. And now I parlay that with what I know about the card market. So it's a lot of fun, but I'm 100% dedicated to football cards. Like, you can go back and listen to my podcast with Carter. I didn't know that. I thought the NBA finals were like over when it was actually like the quarterfinals, and I've got like blinders on when it comes to, because I just want to be an expert when it comes to everything NFL.
Yeah. And for those of you who aren't subscribed to the Football Card Quest podcast, like, it's literally one of the only other shows that I listen to. Andy and Carter are awesome. So you got to go check that out. So Andy, while we have you on the camera right now, who are you selling, my man?
Well, I would say there is definitely quite a few players I'm selling. You know, Mac Jones, I think, is a great play. Some guys that I'm also selling heading into the season. I think that you could look at Justin Herbert. I see his volume starting to go back up. There's obviously a lot of hype there. He could be a hold too as well. But I'm just looking at the 2023 season. It kind of goes back to what happened to him last year. It's just such a difficult division. And for them to get past the Chiefs, it's just, man, in the AFC. And obviously, they've got the potential. I just don't know that. I think Brandon Staley's starting to get on the hot seat. And obviously, they bring in Kellen Moore, so the offense is going to play a lot faster. They're going to throw the ball more. They spent a first round pick on Quentin Johnson. So they want to be more aggressive. They want to play faster. Justin Herbert's ADOT, or average distance of target, last year was the worst of his career. It was pathetically small. So they're looking to fix that. So I think this team's going to be a lot more aggressive. I'm just not sure, you know, how well they're going to do in the playoffs. Obviously, we saw him flame out against the Jags last year. So, and his rookie ticket autos are still selling for the same as Joe Burrow, even though Joe Burrow is a Super Bowl contender, right? And Justin Herbert hasn't quite got there. And so I'm just starting to see like this, this trend of Justin Herbert, Josh Allen being these bridesmaids, but never a bride kind of thing. And this is a trend that could continue for them for many years. So it's one of those situations where once a quarterback has gone to the Super Bowl, the likelihood of them getting back is pretty high. Like, it's pretty good. Like, I was looking at a tweet from the 33rd team. I think it was from former coach Mike Martz, about like 115 teams that have been to the Super Bowl. 68 of them were led by quarterbacks that eventually became Hall of Famers. So it's basically like a 60% chance of a quarterback that actually gets to the Super Bowl going on to become a Hall of Famer. So I do get concerned about these guys that are going for a lot of money, but that have never made that championship or Super Bowl run, and people really clinging on to that. So I look at guys like Herbert and Josh Allen as big time sells for me heading into the season.
Love that. And I think those guys should sell really well at the National too. Those are typically names that people are seeking out at big card shows in July, like the National. So good call there. We got a lot more love for Andy in the comments that we'll get to, and some questions that we'll get to later on in the show. But Chad, who are you selling right now?
Before I get to my sell, I'm going to expound a little bit on what Andy said. With, you know, one of the things that you got to look at when you're, especially with football season coming, is, and I think Andy will agree with me here, you got to look at the early schedules of these players, and that can make or break. Like, you look at Mac Jones, and he's starting with the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Cowboys. That is brutal. Brutal. I mean, so if you truly believe in Mac Jones, sell him before the season, and when they start out 0-3, you could probably buy him back for half the price, and then they get on a run. They go to a soft – their middle of their schedule is – it's not soft, but it's the softest part. You know, by October, you could see them get on a little bit of a run there, and then you could see another spike in their cards. So that's one of the things I like to do, is look at the early schedules, look to who I want to sell that I'm going to target to buy back, maybe in month two of the season. But
that's a great point, Chad.
Who I'm selling is Christoph Porzingis. I bought into him big. He was kind of like the unicorn before any other unicorns came into the NBA. I had bought a silver Prism PSA 10 and a base Prism PSA 10. The silver I planned on putting in my collection, my PC, and just keeping it. So I really didn't care what the values did to that. The base Prism PSA 10 I wanted to flip, and I got stubborn and refused to flip it. I bought it about 2.5 years ago. I paid $100 for it, and it was all the way down to an $8 card. That card right now in the last 14 days is up 367%. In 14 days since he signed with the Celtics. Now, granted, that base Prism at 367% is still only a $64 card. So however, I do have that one listed. I am going to I'm going to cut bait and run on that one and hope to lose 50% after holding that card for 3 years. But Porzingis cards are up a tremendous amount with the signing of the Celtics. I would sell him now.
I love that. I love that Porzingis sell now, because you're talking about a guy, he was the original unicorn, Kristaps Porzingis, and he's been, you know, bounced around the league, but now with this trade to the Celtics has a bit of a resurgence. And I like Chad's overall thought in that. I think, you know, who I would be selling right now would be similar guys to Kristaps Porzingis, guys like Bradley Beal, guys like Chris Paul, guys like Jordan Poole. You don't necessarily have a hype spike as high as a trade as you would. It's hard to predict the likelihood of them making a an NBA Finals run. And so with the basketball card strategy, I've noticed that there aren't as many hype spikes during the season based on performance. You have to have a Cam Thomas 3 40-point games in a row type of situation for a huge hype spike. And so guys like Anthony Edwards, guys like Tyrese Maxey that I was trying to sell for a profit last year, they were hard to sell for a profit because you had to buy in at a high price point to get them. And so even guys like Jordan Poole, Bradley Beal, you know, James Harden might move, Damian Lillard's going to move. I would be looking to sell all my Damian Lillards, all my James Hardens, all my, you know, I mean, Kristaps Porzingis just kind of got the thought process rolling for me into it's NBA. It is NBA free agent trade week right now. And now is the time to sell these guys. The other thing too, is it's about to be the summer league, the sanctioned NBA summer league. And on last week's show, Chad and I talked about like a bowl type of situation where you're going to have some guys where you might be holding their card, have been holding their cards. Now, veterans aren't going to play in the summer league. So these are going to be like rookies, maybe last year, maybe second year guys that have cards that didn't pan out as rookies where maybe you wanted to sell them and maybe won't pan out as second year guys, but will have large summer league performances. And they do actually generate hype spikes. So another thing I would look for in the coming weeks would be the opportunity to sell some of those guys. So great call, Chad, on the Porzingis. Let's move into the audience Q&A. We've got some queued up here from our premium members at nooffseason.com. That's how to get in the audience QA. And then, of course, we'll take some from the comments as well. So first up is from Adam Rotler, a premium member at nooffseason.com. You might know me as Projectile Dysfunction on YouTube. Yes, love that. For some of us that were slow into the Anthony Volpe play, this is something Chad talked about a month or so ago. Are we still grading those or just selling raw at this point? So I do have an answer here, but Chad, I'll let you go first on the Volpe play. Is this something that you've moved on to other plays? Is this something? And I think this actually will be a theme that we need to cover with the audience, because we are dropping so much knowledge on a daily basis on the show and at nooffseason.com that I do think we need to come back around and make the point to the audience that you do on some of these, you do need to move pretty quickly. And then if you don't, we need to move you on to other things. So talk about this Volpe play real quick, Chad.
Yeah, I made the Volpe play as I wrote it, did very well with it. A couple of our members did it as well. Is it still a viable play? It is. That's the nice thing about the Bowman first. Are you going to make less money today than you would have 3 months ago when we wrote the article? Yes, you are. So a lot of it has to do with look at the current comps of what the nines and the tens are getting. The math stays about the same. In terms of what percentages are going to gem rate. Once you get a good enough base of a gem rate, those don't change much. So the play is still viable, but the amount of money you're going to make is going to change.
Yeah, that's a good call. And so for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, Chad made a suggestion of, based on data, to buy 20 Anthony Volpe 2022 Bowman Chrome first raw and submit them to PSA at the time was a $19 or I think it was a $15 a card level. No, it would have been 19 because it's a 2020 card. Sorry. So $19 a card. He did the math. He laid it out there at nooffseason.com, talked about it on the Sports Card Strategy Show. Based on the gem rate, you should profit X amount. And so he was right on that. Adam Rotler's question is that still viable? I basically said, yeah, the same thing Chad said. Basically, my point was I don't see a way for this to actually profit at all other than that play, just because he's not necessarily playing well. I don't see him, you know, doing something that's going to spike his value on the field. And so I think that we're probably in a situation where the only way to profit from a Volpe play is to actually make that one. So that was what I had to add there. So up next, Mark Smaja, premium member, asked about a Topps Now card. Max Verstappen equals Ayrton Senna in the 41 wins card on a Topps Now. So basically this comes from like Kendall and Chad and I last week talking about buying Victor Wembanyama Tops Now cards. He says, thanks for a Joe Montana play that we helped him with. But basically his thought here was it's a Father's Day. The Tops Now moment happened on Father's Day. He ordered 20, thinking it could be a good card to sell when he wins the championship, when Max wins the championship again this year. And so I have some thoughts on this. I'm going to go first. So I think I would like to caution the audience on all of these plays. I think so. Mosaic Joe submitted a show and tell a couple months ago about Tops Now. And it enlightened me to the fact that what you're really hoping to do when you buy like 20 of the Tops Now is that you're hoping to get a parallel, get a numbered parallel in there. Because I think you have to pay around $80 to get the 20 cards, regardless of what card it is. And the parallels will probably sell for a profit. But it has to be a moment. It has to be like some moment that is going to have a wide audience that's interested in it. My concern with the Verstappen play here, Mark, is that it's already a foregone conclusion that he's going to win the F1 Drivers Championship. And so I don't know that there's going to be a hype spike. If the card said Father's Day on it, I have noticed that like Topps baseball cards for like Mother's Day, Father's Day, all these different things. If it's a player like an Ohtani or a Judge or somebody that has a huge market, you could sell those on Father's Day or on Mother's Day. But I did some research around this Verstappen card, and it actually doesn't say anything about Father's Day on it. So I don't think that there's anything with this card that's going to make you any money other than a parallel of it. But Chad, do you have anything to add on this one?
No, I think you're right on these. Tops Now cards are really cool in the sense that you're encapsulating a moment in time that happened really recently, and they mail them out and you get them within 2 weeks. And you and I and Lefty all did it with the Victor Wembanyama Tops Now card. But really, if you don't get a numbered parallel, it's a losing proposition. You're really rolling the dice and gambling that out of that 20 cards that he bought, that he's going to get a numbered to 49 or something like that. And then you're going to grade it and get a 10. And that's where your profit margin is going to come from. Otherwise, these Tops Now cards don't have a lot of value long term.
Yeah, and I think like Andy's equivalent might be like Panini Instant type stuff. I think Andy, I've never heard you talk about a Panini Instant card or anything like that. I think like this kind of thing, these cards do grade well because they're like made to order and stuff. But I mean, do you have anything to add to this answer here?
Yeah, I typically recommend, you know, flipping those very quickly. They do work out well. I like what they're doing now with the Panini Instant when they print the serial number on the back of it. And it's, you know, from a specific moment in a game. Like last year, Isaiah Pacheco for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, he busted out in a big way as a seventh round draft pick. And, you know, a very angry runner, very violent uphill runner or downhill runner. And he, that's all he had was the Panini Instant. So those cards were selling for like $100, $150, you know? So if you could capitalize on some of those Panini Instants for these late round draft guys that are rookies, I think that's kind of where the play is at for those in football.
Absolutely. That's a great example. So I think there are opportunities, Mark, to make plays. It's just, you got to be careful on, you know, and the good news is that Verstappen is like the driver to buy. So I don't think this is an L for you. I just don't know that it's a W with the upside that maybe you thought. So I think you could easily get your money back from this purchase, especially if you get a parallel, then you're going to make some money. So moving along to Buckeye Dill. So one of our favorites, do things really slow down this much on eBay in mid-June to mid-July? This is my first full year back in the hobby and all my items for sale seem to have gone cold. I think I have over 120 items listed and there's basically zero activity over the last few weeks. Maybe some of the stuff is not that desirable. Boom. That's kind of what I was thinking. No offense. I didn't look at your store, Buckeye Dill. That typically is the case. But even the nicer items aren't getting much attention. Anyway, just wondering if it's normal. Hopefully it gets better soon or I'll need to start giving things away to keep them moving. So let's go to Chad for this one first. Chad, Buckeye Dill asks, slow point in June for him on his eBay store. What do you think?
Yeah, we talked about it in the previous episodes. It happens. It's every single year. It's just a lull in the market. There's not a lot going on. It's right before the draft. Hockey just finished up. It's just it's a weird time of the year. It happens every single year. My cards are, no matter how desirable they are, I'm not immune to it. My stuff goes flat as well. Stuff has picked back up. It's the last week has been a tremendous week for sales on my eBay store. It's a short 2 to 3 week every single year at the beginning of June. I don't know if Andy experiences that in his store or not, but it's just one of those cycles. You get used to it. You don't panic, and it all comes back. Last week was a phenomenal week of sales, so you just ride through it.
Yeah, I think it depends on what cards you have. I mean, I was trying to watch some sports last week, and one night, literally the only thing on was the NHL draft. So it kind of hit me as like, okay, this is, no offense to the NHL draft, but this is a little bit of a lull when that's the only thing on. Andy, what's your experience with June?
Yeah, June was somewhat of a slow month. It was a really good buying month for a lot of NFL players. But yeah, within the last week, we've definitely seen things heating up big time. And I think after we get through this holiday, so I look at big consignments as a good indicator to kind of see where things are at. Like one of the biggest consignments on eBay is DC Sports 87. Typically during the NFL season, they'll have like 8,000 football card auctions ending on a Monday night. And that's just based on people consigning their cards with them, right? Wanting to sell their cards, they take care of all the legwork. Well, right now, I actually counted up before the show because I was interested. They've got only 2,500 football cards. It's still a lot. There's still a lot of football card auctions ending today. And they're one of like a nice spot where I like to dig in on Mondays on DC Sports 87 because of so many auctions. A lot of stuff that just goes way undervalued. You can find some really good cards. And last night I sniped a couple too. But we're definitely starting to see things heat up. And you could just look at that as a good indicator. But I always go back to it's everything's a case-by-case basis, like you said, Paul. What are the actual players that you have in your store, and what are the actual cards? And if you show me that, then I could give you a very good explanation of why or why not your card is moving, right? Because any depending on the player and the cards you have, there's any point in the year, people are going to want to buy the elite players, the hyped-up players. But if you have a bunch of deep sleepers, then on top of that, you've also got, you know, maybe it is an out of 10 or out of 25 card, but it's from Illusions or it's from Rookies and Stars or, you know, it's from Zenith or something like that. It's one of these lesser desirable sets that it's not one of the premium sets. So you're kind of, you know, fighting this uphill battle. And to Chad's point, yeah, you could always promote your sales. I mean, eBay is basically a social media website. It's a social media algorithm that will, you know, pump up or suppress different listings based on listing volume and sales activity and promotion and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Chad Dyer says he builds in a 10% cushion to absorb the 10% boosts on the eBay promoted listing. So that's a good strategy there too. We appreciate that. Andy, good stuff on the DC Sports 87 tip. And I'm sure Buckeye Dill, email me the link to your eBay store. And I'm sure Buckeye Dill will take Andy up on his offer to go through his entire eBay store and analyze it. So we'll see what we can do for you, Buckeye Dill. We appreciate the question. Moving along to Jeff from Dinged Corners. He's here to get some opinions. Wants to see what he thinks of. So actually, like, this is a sticker collection that I had never seen before from Yugoslavian basketball. It's U.S. cards. And so I thank Jeff from Dinged Corners for submitting this because I wanted to get Chad's thoughts on this as to if he had ever seen this and the actual value of these cards. But we're looking right now at the 1989 KOS Yugoslavia. Jeff from Dinged Corners picked up a Michael Jordan PSA 2, but he's wondering basically like how much of this of singles from this set that are ungraded are worth investing in. And this is something I had no idea this existed. I had to do some research in it. Basically what I came back with is that, you know, I don't know. It struck me as something Lefty and I talk about this a lot. when you have to explain what a card is or what a set is to someone, it strikes me maybe as something more for your PC than as a flip. And I know Jeff well enough to know that he's asking for flipping purposes. Like, he wants to make money off of these. So I don't know, Chad, do you know about this set, and what's your take on 1989 KOS Yugoslavia stickers?
I am familiar with them. I have had a few of them. You know, there's, if you really wanted to dig into it, there's a lot of unique sets. There's Venezuelan sets, there's French sets, there's all kinds of, you know, foreign card sets of different soccer, football, basketball. It's such a small, unique market. It's not an area that I like to play in, just simply because if I'm going to try and flip, I want 10,000 people wanting the card, not two people wanting the card.
Yes, exactly.
Can you make money on it? Absolutely. Could it take you a year and a half to sell them to find that one buyer that's interested in it? Yes, absolutely. The more eyes that you have on something, the more people that want it, that's the type of stuff that you're going to flip quicker. Is there an opportunity to make huge profits on it? Yes, when you have something that is that small and targeted, typically somebody will pay more for it because it is so hard to find. So they'll pay more, you can typically make more, but you might, I mean, it might take you a year or two to find somebody willing to buy that set at that dollar amount. It's a big risk. It could pay off. You'd have to have a whole lot more patience than Paul or I to do it.
Yeah. And so the dollar amount, like the seller wants like 15 grand for these card, like for the set. And like, I couldn't find any comps at all really on these. And to not repeat everything Chad said, and just to add a little bit more value to this, like, to me, this just ties up more money that you could be using to do other things with. And so it actually is like the opportunity cost of that is what deters me from it as much as everything Chad said. So to me, this would be a no, but it depends what kind of investor you are. If you're out there, I mean, I know a lot of people who listen to this show and who frequent nooffseason.com that are more set it and forget it type of guys. They don't want necessarily to be making the Mac Jones 3-week quick flip to make money. And that's fine. I personally do want to be Andy Kaysen. I do want to be my money back, and I want profit in 3 weeks, you know, but I think a lot of people out there maybe are interested in sports card investing, but they don't have the time to be doing what we're talking about doing. And then maybe if you're one of those people and you're okay waiting a couple of years and just finding that one buyer, yeah, I mean, more power to you. So we're going to move along to the next question, give Andy and Chad a quick break. I'm going to bring in a video of our friend Lefty McKee, who answered this question from Adam Rotler. What are we doing with Wander? So as I cue this up, bringing in Lefty for a video that he submitted. And Lefty, take it away.
That's what I'm here to explain.
Technical difficulties. Lefty, take it away. What are we doing with Wander?
That's what I'm here to explain. And what I think we should be doing with Wander is holding. I believe that right now Wander is on his upcycle in terms of where he's come from. We saw a massive boom in Wander over the last, you know, 5-6 years. We saw a 1.5 million parallels of him in the early Bowman sets before he ever stood on a Rays field. Then we see him stand on the Rays field. His prices skyrocket like crazy. Honestly, what we're seeing with Ellie De La Cruz, so maybe we can learn a little lesson here with Ellie. But then we see a slight regression from Wander because, of course, he's not a Hall of Famer in day one. He is building his Hall of Fame resume. But I think right now is a great time to hold / acquire Wander Franco, because I believe later in the year, the Rays will be all over TV and all over media. And I think Wander has a chance to take this Rays team to a World Series. And if he does, he has a chance to be a World Series MVP. I think with his cards specifically, because there's so much baked price index already, some people like to talk about a sunk cost fallacy and stuff like that. I think we could see some of those aspects in Wander Franco's cards right now. I think if you were to sell right now or at the All-Star break, you would be getting a small share of what you could get later in the year, because people are waiting to see if he has that X factor to push the Rays all the way into the playoffs and into the World Series. So hold on, cash out in October or November, and or maybe even just hold Wander, because this is the kind of guy you're going to want to have in your long-term hold portfolio. So it depends on what you're looking for. If the next 6 to 12 months are what you're looking for, then I would say that you should hold on to him for the time being and then just roll forward from there. All right, guys. See you later. Have a great 4th of July weekend. Thanks. I hope you guys were able to have a good show without me. Say hello to Andy Kaysen for me wherever you see him this Monday. And then next Monday I'll be back with Dr. Crack and Paul. We look forward to seeing you guys at the Nationals soon. And, dude, keep hunting. All right. Bye.
All right, Lefty. Thanks, man. That was awesome. Wanted to get Lefty's answer on the what to do with Wander. And just have Lefty on the show for a minute, even though he's actually not here with us. Chad, what do you, anything to add with to Lefty's point on Wander?
No, I think Lefty's spot on there. Wander cards right now are down considerably. If you look at the 1 year from last year to this year, they're, you know, 30, 40, 50% down from when they spiked last year. He's having a phenomenal year. I mean, if you look at his statistics, he is having a great year and his cards are falling. So I think Lefty's advice of either acquiring or holding is right on.
Yeah. I'd love to be holding Wander at the beginning of next baseball season when there's that, interest spike at the beginning of April. So, all right, up next, Joey at Braun Balls on Board, new premium member at nooffseason.com. We love it, Joey. Thank you so much for your support. He's asking about, this is the question about the declared value. So at a 199 declared value, he's asking if he can submit the Herbert downtown and what would be the repercussions if he does, because obviously that's something that is going to be valued at over $199. And, you know, I think I know my response to this, but I'm going to hand this one over to the one and only Dr. Crack Chad Gill, the PSA expert. What would you do here, Chad?
Well, if it's me, I wouldn't put it into that submission. I know people that do because they will upcharge you. You know, if the card comes back and it's a $400 card and it's in the 199 submission, they will upcharge you for that one card. I know a lot of people that submit and do it that way because PSA does. They are fairly lenient if it's a card that they grade and it comes back at 275. Will they upcharge you? Sometimes they don't if it's just one out of 20 cards. So you're playing the game. I personally would not submit that card at the $19 or at the $15 199 level.
Andy, do you have experience with something like this on a high dollar card?
No, not really. Other than the fact that, it's like you're kind of trying to, you're not trying to cheat the system, right? Cause they'll just upcharge you, but why, you know, it may delay your order. I don't know. It may delay your order. So why not just go ahead and do it the way they want it when you know that's the way they want it done. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Chad, is that why? Because I wanted to ask you, like, why wouldn't you do it? Like, is that why? Because it's going to delay your order?
Absolutely. That order. So right now, as I mentioned, I'm sending in submissions weekly. I am getting, Andy had mentioned at the top of the show, 65-day declared turnaround time. They are absolutely flying through orders right now. From the time I send my last seven bulk submissions, which were 20 to 30 cards each, from the day I sent it to the day I got it back is less than 4 weeks. I mean, PSA is absolutely flying right now. And great. And if you have a card like that, they're going to call another grader over. They're going to get to Q&A. It's just going to slow down the process. If you want that card back, just send it in correctly.
All right, Joey. So that's your answer right there. I think I had emailed Joey back and my response was like, you could do it at that level And it's probably not going to hurt you too much because, again, they would just upcharge you. But I like what Chad and Andy have said here is that, you know, if the turnaround time is important to you and you're okay submitting it in it by itself for a little bit more money, not that much more money, then it's probably better. So, Joey, hopefully that helps. Speaking of PSA, this is a great question from our friend Jeff at Dinged Corners. What's the success rate on a CSG cracked slabs to PSA graded cards? So this is something I want to put together a report for, because one of the reasons why I'm doing this a lot is because I want real life experiential data on this. And I want to try to have as much data as possible and break this down in terms of like what the success rate is from different grading companies cracked slabs over to PSAs, whether it's getting an equal grade or trying to jump up a half grade or whatever. But I will say that I've submitted 10 cards so far where I've cracked a CSG slab and submitted it to PSA. And the desirable grade, I'm 50%. I've had 5 out of the 10 get the grade that I wanted, and I've had 5 out of the 10 not get the grade that I wanted. And that's the best that I can report on currently. For Jeff, but I figured Chad for sure would have something to add to this. So Chad, over to you first for this one.
Yeah, I was just pulling up my spreadsheet here when I saw the question. So I have my records show that I've had 101 CSG to PSA crossovers. The CSG 9.5s to 10s are at 51%. The CSG 10 to PSA 10 are at 62%. So slightly better at getting a CSG 10 to get a PSA 10, but they're roughly 50% as well.
Andy, is this something you do?
I'll tell you, the one CSG slab I've cracked open was the most difficult slab to crack ever. So it's like, at this point, I look at a CSG slab, I'm like, man, you're pretty much stuck in there. Like, I mean, I feel like you run a higher risk of maybe damaging the car. I'm sure Dr. Cracked Chad over here, he's got an expert method to do it, so it's not as much of a concern. But no, I don't do a lot of crossover. I do a lot of, you know, buy raw, flip raw, or buy PSA 10, flip PSA 10. But we are doing a big PSA submission right now, so I'm more on like the you know, just submit the raw to get graded.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so more to come, Jeff, on the CSG data, but great stuff from Dr. Crack Chad Gill on that. And I'll agree with Andy, like my first CSG slab that I cracked was hard, but then it's almost like with each company, you get used to the amount of effort that you're going to have to put into cracking the slab, and then you figure out what the best way is to do each one. So it actually, like, to me, the hardest is still Beckett, because it takes like my hand strength and like my forearm strength. I need to put all of it in there just to get any corner off of a Beckett slab. Whereas CSG, I'm fine with. The softest to me is actually PSA. So if you're trying to crack something out of a PSA slab, that's the softest. But anyway, we'll move on to the next one. Jared Easley, we got two more questions that are queued up here, guys, and then we'll wrap up the show. But Jared Easley, premium member, just signed up for the free 30-day trial at nooffseason.com. Super pumped to be back in the hobby after a 20-year hiatus. Looking to get some cards graded through PSA. He's accumulated quite a bit over the last month. Bought a magnifier and a centering tool to increase my chances. The best cards I have are prisms and optics. As I examine them, I notice divots or little pop marks on a large chunk of them. The cards are perfect with centering, corners, and edges, but they have these marks that you can notice when magnifying it. Is this going to hurt my chances at a 10, or is this how prisms or optics are? Any help would be appreciated. Thanks so much for the question, Jared. We really appreciate this. And there's definitely people that are at different stages of grading their cards and learning this and everything. And so I think this actually is a great question for the entire audience. Chad, what do you think here?
Yeah, that's why prisms grade harder than a non-prism. Those little dimples and pock marks that you see are part of the surface from the way that they get rollered in the manufacturing process, and that does affect their grade, unfortunately. And to find one that doesn't have those is why, for example, Trevor Lawrence silver PSA 10s are at about a 12 or 14% gem rate. The quality the last couple of years has been getting worse and worse with the production of these cards, and it's making especially the silvers harder and harder to get the gem 10 grades. Can you get nines with those? Yes. If there's a lot of them, can it get a lower than a nine grade? Yes. I've seen tens where there's maybe one real minor one, but if you have multiple, you're not going to get a 10 with those little dimples.
All right, we're going to fly through a few more and then wrap up the show. So Travis Martin got one in right before the show. He's a premium member. What are your thoughts on the companies that pre-grade cards? Are any legit? Thanks. I believe so. I mean, I think it's relatively low price too. And I think the best way to do this is at a card show where you can walk right over to a pre-grading company at a card show. I know the Dallas card show does this. Lefty did it at the National with another company that escapes my mind, but I think it's usually $10 or less to have a pre-grade. And then you basically know, I mean, so to me, I would say on a high dollar card, with like a situation where if it's going to gem or if it's going to get a nine, it's going to give you significantly more value than say an eight, a seven or a six or whatever. Like, I think you need to look at the tiers first and say, is a $10 pre-grade investment going to matter at all in my overall 10? And is it going to potentially eat into my entire profit margin on a nine type of a situation? But to me overall, I think it makes sense. But I do think it depends on like what, how much is that $10 going to eat into your overall profit margin? But Chad, am I overthinking this? What do you do any of these pre-grading companies?
Well, if you're back to my loss of the week was my Trevor Lawrence. If you remember in that same video, I bought a pre-graded Beckett 9 Joey B disco and hoping that it would get a PSA 9. I wasn't expecting a 10, but I said if the pre-grade was correct and I got a 9, I would profit about $75. Well, it came back a 9. So those pre-grades are, if it's from... The two that I've seen do the most pre-grades are Beckett and SGC. They'll probably both be doing it at the National again this year. I know they both did it last year. To your point, Paul, at a National or a large show, I think that they could be very beneficial because it could save you a lot of money from buying a raw card. I like to target them on eBay because for whatever reason, a Beckett pre-graded 9 sells for less than a raw card on eBay. I don't know why. I like them because I know Beckett already pre-graded at a 9. It saves me from buying a raw card like I did with the Trevor Lawrence and getting an 8. I have yet to have a pre-graded card come in, you know, off by two grades. Is it off by a grade? Once in a while it can be, but the majority of those tend to be legit. So I like the pre-graded.
Cool. Rusty Amagard says, what is the play that it's going to take to get Dr. Crack to start up a show with a cannonball into the pool?
I don't know. If you guys come up with one, let me know that. I think he's referring to my show and tell because I had my pool. I was out on my deck and had my pool in the background, so maybe I'll have my kid have the cell phone out there for a future show and tell, and I'll do a oh my shoes cannonball into the pool to get started. We'll see. Maybe we do take suggestions. We'll have to keep that one in mind for a future show.
That's exactly what I was thinking when he put that in there too, you out by your pool in the show and tell submission. All right, speaking of shoes, he says what do you guys think about this new AI grading service Tag? This is something that I talked about briefly in my, when I went to Mint Collective, I met the people at Tag, walked by their booth. I was very impressed with the booth, the overall concept of the full AI grading, the report that they give. I was very impressed with that. I have not had a card graded by Tag, but I was very impressed with what I saw from Tag in terms of the overall experience and the report that you get. Being super detail oriented around why your card got the grade that it got. I know that there were limited drops early on with Tag. I do know a friend of the show, Jeremy Lee, who has Sports Cards Live. You may be familiar with his show. He's been on our show before. We've talked about Tag. I highly encourage you to go check that out, Shoes. Check out that episode back in the archives. just for the sake of time here, we're just going to wrap up. So Rocky Empire Sports Cards, this is a question for another day. So he says, I'd love to know some of your processes when assessing things like volume of sales and market cap. What numbers or percentage change kind, you know, push you into action? So that's something we're going to take that into account, Rocky Empire, and follow back up with you and the audience on a future episode. That's something I can get with Andy, Lefty, and Chad, and we can come up with a way to give you some value there. It's obviously too loaded for today. Oh, my shoes. Andy, I want to thank you and Paul. You were literally the first dudes that I took advice from getting back into the hobby. And then Andy Kaysen, thanks for being our guest co-host on the show today. You're a stud. You brought some of your football card questers in here. Mr. T, Chad Dyer, Sleepless in Seattle is Mr. T, but then who is the other one? J Kid, you said J Kid's been in the house.
Yeah,
so appreciate you guys coming in. Who's TT? You guys, you're getting love for TT, a play that you rookie ticket autos you talked about.
I think they're talking about Tyquan Thornton, the New England Patriots. He's a second round wide receiver from last year, heading to second year, where second year wide receivers tend to exceed expectations. And this guy is actually faster in straight line speed than Tyreek Hill. He's got a 100 percentile speed score. He ran a 4.28 40-yard dash at the combine. He is incredibly fast. So he checks those boxes. He's a nice sleeper play. You get rookie ticket autos for him like $10. It's like he's dirt cheap.
There you go. Thanks, football card questers, for being in the house today. Andy, great work. Andy's going to be back. Don't worry. Well, first of all, you need to go follow him on Instagram at Football Card Quest. You need to check out his YouTube channel and subscribe there if you're not already a member. FB Card Quest, I believe, is the handle there still, or is it different now?
Oh, yeah. I think it is FB. I think it is FB Card Quest. You know, most of it's hard to keep up with multiple social media platforms. So, like, I have total respect for you, Paul. You know, you are very consistent on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And I'm like, I do YouTube really well, but then I struggle, you know, remembering to like post stuff to Twitter and Instagram more consistently. So I'll get there eventually. First and foremost, it's YouTube. And then we have our premium subscription where, you know, we've got a Discord server. We've got an app that just tracks graded football card sales through eBay with some really cool like collection tools and player data and stuff in there. And then I also do a weekly written article, and I do monthly giveaways. So and I also host like Patreon only dynasty football leagues and stuff like that we do over there.
Andy is killing the game. You got to check him out, and he's going to be back in a couple of weeks when we stream live on July 17th. I'm going to be on family vacation, so it's going to be Kendall, Andy, and Chad hosting that episode of the Sports Card Strategy Show. Appreciate the love from the card questers in here. Mr. T subscribing, Jason Van Castle, love you guys. Chad Dyer, I've seen you before, but good to have you back. And thanks again, everybody, for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. For Chad Gill, Dr. Crack, for Kendall, Lefty McKee, and for Andy Kaysen of Football Card Quest, have a great day, everybody, and happy 4th of July. And let's cue that rock music, as Lefty would say if he was here.
Can't believe you gave that guy a day off.
I know. Ridiculous.